I fell in love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, and I would be set free. Oh, oh Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave.
Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered.
Come on, church.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is a family love. You will take my place. You will bear my would lay down your life, and I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Lord, I thank you for all that you have done for us. Lord, I thank you for this time we can spend here this afternoon. Lord, we just dedicate this service to you. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you begin to fall in this place. Lord, we just come here to worship and give you praise. Just come here to honor you, Lord. Lord, I pray that as each person lifts up your name this afternoon, Lord, Lord, that they would experience how good you are. That, Lord, we'll get a new revelation. That we'll see a new facet of you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, my soul. worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I would keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, I worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. Yes, I'll worship Your holy name. Lord, I'll worship Your holy name. Bless Your holy name. Give You all the time, Jesus. Such a sweet presence here. Thank You, Lord. Still stands. Great is Your faithfulness, faithfulness.
this is my confidence. You've never failed. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never. Come on, let's sing it again.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet.
I'll see you do it again. You made a way. There was no way. And I believe I'll see you do it again. I've seen you move.
Come on, let's declare it.
You move the mountains. And I believe I'll see you do it again. Made a way when there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. Never failed me yet. Never failed me. Before the walls of Jericho fell, God sent the worshippers out. They walked around the city, just praising God. And I really believe that when you need to see walls come down, things that the enemy is trying to stop from happening in your life, spend time praising God. As we praise God, God can tear down the walls. We just want to worship you, Lord. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk.
upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Oh.
Holy Spirit, we just thank you. We acknowledge your presence in this place. You're here with us, leading us, guiding us. We surrender, we yield our hearts and say, Spirit, lead us to where our trust is without borders. Lead us and guide us. We ask even now as we gather around your word that you would reveal the truth to us. You know all things and you're in us to lead us and guide us into all truth. And take us on and grow us in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you, we honor you, we worship you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Take your seats, please. Thank you. Awesome. Praise God. We should just make these Sunday nights a worship session, I reckon. Beautiful time of worship. That's awesome. We thought we'd do something a little bit different tonight, which we hadn't really filled Dad in, so he can jump up when he feels inspired. Sorry. But a few of us wanted to just share our thoughts with you. So Darren and Shell and me and Anthony are going to share a little bit of what God's been putting on our heart lately. So I told, Mash asked if I wanted to start, but I'm going to pass it on to him first. So, no? Just a couple of minutes each. This is Anthony or Mash, sorry for visitors. Everyone knows I call him by a couple of names, so I'll pass it on to him.
Thanks, Kez. Just a brief encouragement this morning to you all, and as we all share, just get a morsel of inspiration that you can take away with you today. So I came across this scripture during the week and really stood out for me, so I'm just going to read it and just take us through a few things that really inspired me and hopefully inspire you as well. It's from Isaiah 48, halfway through verse 16 and verse 18, and it says this: "And now the sovereign Lord and his Spirit have sent me with this message. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am your Lord God, who teaches you what is good for you and leads you along the paths you should follow. Oh, that you had listened to my commands, then you would have had peace flowing like a gentle river, and righteousness rolling over you like the waves in the sea. That's the scripture, and I can't actually remember reading that scripture before, and I read it during the week, and I thought, wow, that's such a good illustration and a good, almost like a correction in a way. So God's saying here, just to remind us that He is the Lord our God, and that's something that we need to speak to ourselves, our soul, every day, that He is the Lord our God. And He desires to teach us what is good for us. And He desires to lead us along the right pathway. And in verse 18, God is essentially saying, oh, would you just listen to me? That you would just listen to me, because I desire to teach you. I desire to lead you. But would you just listen? And then it goes to a couple of promises once we actually listen to God, that would allow Him to lead us and to teach us. It says, I love the imagery here, that you would have peace flowing like a gentle river and righteousness rolling over you like the waves in the sea. It's like a constant imagery that's just the river flows, the waves keep rolling in. Who wants more peace in their life? Who wants to walk in a right, constant righteous state? And ultimately, that we would listen to Him. That we would be open to His guidance, open to Him teaching us, like the good teacher that He is, the good Father that He is. And when I read that this week, I got really challenged and really inspired at the same time that... As we've been hearing a lot this year, God is just constantly speaking. He's constantly at work in our lives, constantly prodding us, poking us, leading us all the time, because He wants the best for us. He's got the best life for us. He has this peace, no matter what's happening around us, this peace that's constantly flowing, and it comes from Him. And that we would live in a righteous, constant righteous state and righteous way of living. And... yeah, that's pretty much all my brief inspiration to you this morning. I don't know where I am. Thanks for sharing. I'll get Shell or Daz. Shelley, yes. I'm sure Shelley's pumped about coming up.
I just want to say hi, everyone. It's just Carol. Hi, Carol. Hi, guys. I'll just get this up. Whew. What an interesting last week and a bit, eh? Here we are again. I found myself reading last week and opened up the Bible on would have been last Thursday morning, and I actually didn't know that we don't really watch the news and don't really keep up with a lot of the stuff that has been going on. And I just read, what is it, Psalm 57, a few bits of that. And these are the bits that I'll just read it and we can just chat about it after. It says, have mercy on me, my God, have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who vindicates me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends forth His love and His faithfulness. My heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the people. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. And kind of read that and went, oh, you know, that's awesome. I love it. But I didn't really feel at the time, like I liked bits of it, but I didn't really feel, I kind of felt like, okay, you know, I'll read something else now. I didn't really feel like it was that significant. And then a couple hours later, he does is like, you know, there's going to be an announcement and stuff's going to change today and stuff. And I was like, huh? What's going on, you know? And then, you know, we turned on the TV and heard the announcements and stuff. And straight away, I was just like, oh, my heart is steadfast. Like, you know, this is it. This is what I needed for that day. And as much as I didn't know it at the time, that is what I needed. And, you know, it talks in this about, at the start of it, about disaster. And, I mean, the world is in a state of disaster at the moment. You know, it's just mayhem, isn't it? And people might go through personal disasters at the moment as well. Whether it's work or relationships, financial issues, just general worry, stress, anxiety. But it says in verse 1, I'll take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. And, you know, Kez, I think, and Ken were speaking a lot about this a while back as well, remain in me, you know, and that is, it's just so true. In disaster, remain in him, and he will shelter us, and we will take refuge in the shadow of his wings until it is past. And I am, you know, no matter what's going on in our life, in all those disasters, our heart needs to be steadfast. And why should it be steadfast? Because of verse 10, for great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. He's just so faithful no matter what's going on in the world. And a few of the meanings of faithfulness are loyalty, constancy, devotion, allegiance, dependability, reliability, trustworthiness, steadfastness. So we can be steadfast amid the disaster and just rest in the knowledge that he's faithful, even when the world is chaotic, and even if there are disasters in our lives as well, he's still faithful and he's still God. So we can rest in that knowledge and take comfort in that. So that's it from me. Kez?
Awesome. Thanks, Shel. I love that. It reminded me of the song that we just sang then about your promise still stands, for great is your faithfulness. Like, that's true. We have no reason for our heart to ever not be steadfast because of who our God is. Amen. I remember last year, as many of you will know, and I keep saying it, when my body just started going crazy and I had no idea what was going on. I woke up one morning and that song just resounded, that old song. We don't sing it here or anything. You know that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, they never come to an end. It was just so clear. The Holy Spirit's just like, just remember this, just remember this. And it's been the journey that I've gone through as I'm still going through it all. That I'm like, he's faithful. So with that, I'm like, yes, your promise still stands no matter what. You are still who you are. My heart is steadfast, trusting in you, for great is your faithfulness. And it's funny that you actually brought up about the heart being steadfast. And when you brought up about Jericho, it was interesting because do you remember in Jericho, before they shouted, before they all went, what did they do? Does anyone remember what they did? They were silent for 6 days. It says in Joshua chapter 6, verse 10, he says, you shall not make a shout or any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say. 6 days. 6 days. We get annoyed that we're locked down, but at least we can still talk. Can you imagine? You're like, that's it. Okay, masks on and mouths quiet for 6 days. Like, say nothing, not even a sound out of your mouth. Why? Why was that? You think about it, because they were complainers. They were massive, massive complainers, weren't they? And there was a work that God was doing. And it's funny, because like I said, that story came up, but the scripture I actually wanted to bring out today, I'd been mulling through a little bit and God been pulling me up a bit on, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We all know that, don't we? That verse? And it's Jesus talking. It's like, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And words today kind of don't carry as much weight as they used to in the natural realm, do they? It used to be, we've talked about it before, a man's word was his thing. Nowadays, a word means nothing, and half the time, even a signature on a piece of paper means nothing. I don't know what means anything these days, but it doesn't. However, Has that changed the reality of the power of words in the spiritual realm? No. But we forget that a bit, don't we, sometimes? Yeah? We forget that it's still powerful. God created the world by speaking, didn't he? There's a law he put in place of the power of words, of seeing and speaking something forward. And then he's reminding us, he's like, careful what you say, careful what comes out of your mouth. And this isn't a condemnatory, like in that particular scripture, he's telling the religious people off, right? They're pretending that they're all good, but what's coming out of their mouth is proving that they're actually not that good. You know, they thought they were perfect on the outside, but their mouths and the way they spoke revealed that they weren't very good. That aside, it's more that it's great for us to have a look and go, because there's no condemnation, we're growing and the Holy Spirit's teaching us, yeah? So we get to look and go, out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaks, what's coming out of my mouth and what's it saying about what's in my heart? And if it's something that's not quite so good, that's all right. The Holy Spirit's here to help us chop it up and get rid of it. Not getting condemnation, but just go, oh God, I'm so sorry. That's really not in alignment with your word, with who you are or what you've promised me or what you've said. Sometimes in what I've been through in the last year, Mum will know, Anthony will know, I'm like, sometimes like, oh, I don't really want to catch up with that person because the way they talk and the way they ask questions about what's going on, they get out of me what I actually don't really want to be saying because I'm standing on the Word of God for my body and for what's going on. Do you know what I mean? Like, and so sometimes like, oh, I just want to be quiet for 6 days. I'd really like to just shut my mouth for 6 days, you know, and then just sing forth in praise and shout. So it's been a fascinating journey, but really challenging. We all know it. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, it says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. So in our words, I talk to the kids about rubbish talk, or trash talk's a good one, but we don't use the word trash really. But, you know, life and death are in the power of the tongue. We can speak life and we could speak death over situations, over people. We even as Christians need to be careful how we're speaking about this whole what's going on in the world. And when we get locked down, you know, let's not speak death over our situations or what's happening, but we'll speak life over even our homes and environment and, I don't know, we live in a different realm, don't we, to what the world's living in. And he says in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, when you think life and death, I straight away thought of, he said, I set before you life and death, therefore choose life. Choose life in everything. Choose life in your words, in what you say, in how we are. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, it says, he who would love life and see good days. Anyone want to see good days? What does it say? It says, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. So straight away, first commandment is watch what's coming out of your mouth if you want to see good life. And yeah, it's powerful. And then the fascinating thing is it's quoting Psalm 34. And this morning I felt God took me to Psalm 34 and I was just reading through it. Then I did this in preparation for tonight and I was like, oh, that's quoting in 1 Peter. It's quoting Psalm 34, which begins. Then I thought, oh, this is interesting. Psalm 34 begins with, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast of the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. So verbal, so let this be on my tongue, let this be what I speak, let this come out of me. And a bit further on, it actually says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, blessed is a man who trusts in him, which I thought of in light of what Shelley just said. Taste and see, we know that he's good. He's like, come on, come and see that I'm good, and you'll be blessed as you trust in me, and then just rest in me, have your heart steadfast in me, and then ensure that is what's coming out of our mouth. Amen? Yeah. I'm going to finish there. Daz?
Thanks, Kiz. Thanks, guys. I'll share for a few minutes and then we'll do communion as well. And Ken will finish off, I think. So, Ken will share something briefly. It's interesting. I was thinking when I was preparing it, wouldn't it be great for everything just to work out perfectly all the time for us, for everything to just run smoothly and never have any issues, and life just to be a you know, not a roller coaster, just nice and cruisy, no issues popping up. Wouldn't that be great? You could say the same about our life with God as well. What if we didn't need to, or God just came down? I know Jesus came down and he was in front of everyone, and still people didn't believe. But imagine if Jesus just came down, or God came down right here and just showed himself to absolutely everyone, and there was you couldn't have any possible doubt that he was who he says he is. And I don't know, examples of, he could just say, I'll do this, I'll do that, and you can just see it all happen. Imagine if it was just that easy. But that's where faith comes in. And I suppose the roller coasters that we go through in life, faith obviously helps with that, but you enjoy you somehow enjoy the ride, but the highs wouldn't be as good without God, or just wouldn't be as good, because there's the lows that you go through and then you enjoy the highs. So if you're always just like this your whole life, God might not be doing a work necessarily in you. I don't know, but I found that particularly. So, but briefly, I just want to touch on patience. And when we hear patience, we generally probably think of you got to push through, you got to strive, you got to suffer, which that is a big part of it and an element of it. One of the fruits of the Spirit is long suffering, and that is patience. And it mentions in Romans 5:3 that we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. It produces patience. And also in James 1:2-3, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So there we see that our sufferings can refine our faith and produce patience in us. And I know Mash started and he said, we're all going to share some inspiration. It's probably not so much inspiration yet that I'm sharing in terms of that, but I want to touch on just a little bit of a different light to patience that particularly in this scripture, that it really revealed it to me, that throughout times when we need to show patience, and particularly faith and patience, they go together. This scripture really stood out to me this week in Romans 12:12, and I like it in the Amplified, where it says, constantly rejoicing in hope because of our confidence in Christ, steadfast, that word's come up a bit, steadfast and patient in distress, devoted to prayer, continually seeking wisdom, guidance and strength. So here it mentions about being patient in distress or suffering and being steadfast in that, but I like the part before it and after it as well. In this scripture it says, constantly rejoicing in hope, or exulting in hope. That's when we're going through times and whatever it is that we need to be patient with, we're constantly rejoicing in the hope that we have, and it helps us get through it. And then the last bit, devoted to prayer, or continually in prayer, it helps us with that middle part of patience and being steadfast and patient in whatever situation that we might face. And that word patient comes from a word hypomone, which means to remain under or abide under. It has other meanings as well, but I like that part of it, to remain under and abide under. I really like that we can do that, as that Romans 12:12 first part of it said, because of our confidence in Christ, we can remain under him. And it's interesting, the steadfast word that keeps coming up. And I actually looked into the meaning of it as well. And it just said, it'll give you, if you just type it in Google, it basically says firm and unwavering, or to be unmovable. Unmovable. And that's what continued to come up when I was preparing this, is when we need patience, it's just being consistent, and it's an unmovable spirit that we have, that God can help us with throughout these times. And how is that done? It's done a lot through coupling it with faith and patience. As it says in Hebrews 6:12, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised through faith and patience. And sometimes it can be difficult and tricky to display faith and patience at the same time, but it's that, I remember hearing a saying, inconsistency lies the power. Where there's consistency lies the power. And just being unmovable, unwavering, it can really help us in our walk with God. And that leads us into communion. I don't know if a couple of people can hand it out. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. This is probably one element where we don't necessarily have to wait and be patient anymore because it's already done for us. It's already been and done for us. It's just the faith element. He's already done it for us, and he's already suffered many things for us that we don't have to go through anymore. He's obviously covered our sins and many other areas of our life that we don't have to go through anymore. And part of that also is when we do need patience in our life, what he has done through suffering for us, he's given us that where we can just trust in him totally and be able to be unmovable and unwavering. And it is tough sometimes to, yeah, I suppose when our minds go other places and we might not trust in God in certain situations, we can be steadfast in that. We can be steadfast and know that God is there. And as it says, I want to go on to that Roman scripture again. Constantly rejoicing in hope. So when there's situations that we're facing and we need to develop patience, let's constantly rejoice in the hope that we have. It'll help you get through it. Because it, as the fruit of the Spirit is, it's long-suffering. Sometimes it can be a long time that we might be waiting for an answer or working through something and believing for something in our lives. But with that rejoicing, constant rejoicing in hope and being devoted to God in prayer, it helps us get through that patience that we so often need. Something I've needed as well, particularly the last 12 months. And that's definitely helped me, having God on my side to, he's got hope for us. He's got hope, and yeah, there's reasons for it. In Psalm 89:34, it says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. God doesn't go against his word, and his covenant he will not break. This covenant that we're holding this afternoon is something he will not break, and his word is true. Everything he says in his word is true, and we can trust in it no matter what we're going through. We can have faith in it, and coupling that with faith and patience, there is great hope there. So as we take the elements this morning, I'll pray over the bread. Lord God, we honor you and thank you so much that we can come together. We can trust in you, Lord, and we can look to you as our Saviour. No matter what life brings for us, Lord God, when we trust in you, we know that you've got it worked out for the good, Lord. The highs and the lows, we thank you, Lord, that we can trust in you. You are unmovable, Lord, unwavering, and we trust in you. We can be unmovable and wavering, Lord, but we trust in you and thank you for what you've done. We look to you, Lord God, in every circumstance and situation for what you did on the cross for us, Lord God. You died for us, your body, Lord God, and you died for our sins so that we can live, Lord God, live for you, Lord. And we just honor you and praise you and thank you so much for the bread, Lord God, and also the wine, Lord God, your blood. Thank you that it covers all our sins, Lord God. We honor you and praise you as we take them together this afternoon. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just invite Ken to finish off.
Thanks, Darren. Well, again, this Sunday afternoon service has been a bit more of a family gathering, get together with everybody, and appreciate those that have got up and just shared what was on their heart. It's more of an open forum, I suppose, in that sense, and a bit different to a normal service, but it's so great to have everybody come together in a family environment, family atmosphere, to be able to just express what God is doing. And I don't know if anyone else has got any exciting times this week. God's been amazingly good. And I don't know whether everyone got the message, but you know, we had an anointing of oil service a couple of weeks ago, and we just said, you know, if you need prayer. And that afternoon, instantly, when I was prayed for at the front here with Rake and Fritz, you know, God just started to turn things around immediately in my life. My throat and other things were just cleared up immediately. It was just so amazing to see God moving and others. So we need to trust Him. We need to have our confidence in Him. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. I want to finish with one thought. The Bible tells us this, that regardless of what has happened or what's going on around us, David was a guy who had some pretty amazing experiences in his life. And even when he came back from a battle and he got to their town, everything had been wiped out. And his wives were gone, and everyone else, the soldiers came back, and their families had been taken and captivated. And there was disturbance going on. There was all sorts of things. They wanted to get David, and they wanted to string him up. They wanted to stone him because David had led them off in this battle, but left their families unguarded, and everything went wrong. You know, David could have actually got into a panic mode. But you know what it says he did? David strengthened himself in the Lord. And I don't know what's going on in your life, and I don't know what you've been subjected to, and I don't know what's going on around your part of the world, even though the world's gone crazy, and even though everything around us seems like it's in the negative, and there's a bunch of negativity happening everywhere, and everything you see and hear is fear and doubt, and people are panicking. Regardless of that, if David was here, what would he do? David would strengthen himself in the Lord. David would strengthen himself in the Lord. And I'm encouraging you to do that. I'm encouraging you to ensure that your strength is in the Lord solidly, firmly, steadfastly. All the things that the four that got up today spoke about was confidence in God. I actually had prepared a message because I didn't know where we were going as far as that went. And I'm not going to preach it, but it was entitled Having Confidence in God. And it was all to do with how we deal with situations and make sure our confidence is not in our own strength, but it's in God. That it's in God. And let me just give you one little clue. I'll preach this another time. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. And you know the first thing David did? He called the priest in and he said, bring me an ephod. Now that sounds the strangest thing to do, but he wanted to go in and inquire from God. Now if you go and study the priestly garments, the ephod was like a nappy. But it was made of linen. And the priest had to wear it to go into the presence of God. And the reason it was made the way it was made, it caused no sweat. It caused no sweat. Now, sweat was the very first thing that God cursed this earth with. He said, by the sweat of your brow, you'll till the earth. One of the things that happened back at the fall in the Garden of Eden was sweat was introduced. A man had to work by the sweat of his brow. And it was self-effort. It was self-work that created sweat. God doesn't want anything of ourself in the way when he's going to provide an answer. And so David, the first thing David said was, bring me an ephod. Bring me an ephod. I'm getting myself out of the way. I'm getting my own efforts out of the way. I'm taking my abilities and setting them aside. I'm taking everything that I think I can do in my own strength and I'm setting it aside. Bring me an ephod. And I tell you what we need to do, church. We need to get hold of the ephod. We need to throw everything aside that is of our own self, our own strength, our own capacities, our own abilities. And we need to say, God, I'm in your hands. Fully, wholly, solely, and unequivocally, I am setting myself in your hands. Nothing of myself. Get hold. Like, we're not going to get a literal ephod, but we need to make sure that nothing of our own capacities gets in the way of what God wants to do. And that's what David did. He strengthened himself in the Lord. He set his own agenda aside. He set his own capacities aside. He set his own abilities aside. He set everything about what he could do in his own strength. Sure, he could have rallied his armies. He could have done all sorts of things. But he came before God. And he said, Lord, what will I do? And God gave him direction. And God gave him the victory. Because he set himself in a position where it wasn't his own strength and ability, it was God's. Amen? Amen. We're going to have a little bit of time and fellowship together. Kismo, you've got a couple of announcements, have you? Can I just commit this to the Lord first? Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for the empowerment of your Spirit, for the strengthening of our lives. For Lord God, as we put ourselves in your hands, you are faithful. You are faithful to strengthen us. You are faithful to hear our cry. You are faithful to answer. Lord God, you are faithful in every way. And we thank you so much for your goodness, your faithfulness, your assurance, and we have confidence in you today. We declare that, Lord God. The fruit of our lips declares our confidence in our God. And we praise you for the capacity that you have. Lord, I ask that your Spirit will teach us to be able to set ourselves aside, to set our own thinking aside, to set our own capacities and abilities aside, and to just come before you in total humility, allowing you to be the God that you alone can and want to be in each life here. And I praise you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Alrighty. Oh, sorry, Carol. Hey, here we are. Go where I can be seen. That's awesome. Hopefully you've got something out of all of that, a lot of inspiration. As we've said, we have dinner. I don't think we put on the text, but these Sunday nights we'll be having dinner, so we've got some soup available for those who want to stick around. If you've had dinner or you've got something at home or whatever and you want to just have a coffee, let us know and Anthony can make a coffee for you. I actually just wanted to share quickly, I just thought of that, when the last day of school the kids had to come home, Reuben came home unwell, and so that night I got Dad to come around, gentle, you can go back over there, off you go. Just so you know, during this whole time, you are actually allowed to receive pastoral care. So at any point in time, though they say visitors at your home, Dad's allowed to actually come, one of the elders in the church are allowed to come around to your house as pastoral care. So Dad came around and we got him to anoint Reuben with oil because he was really unwell. And the next morning he woke up perfectly fine, which was awesome. And then on Sunday, Aisha fell unwell and Anthony and I were praying for her and just kind of went on for a day and a half. And then the next day she woke up unwell and she turns around, she goes, I want Grandpa in that special oil. And I was like, oh, what am I doing? I said, nah, Mummy and Daddy are elders in the church, darling. We'll do it. So I woke, Mash was still sleeping. And I went home and I said, get up. So we're going to anoint our daughter and pray for her. And so we prayed for her and her sore throat went away. And she was off eating toast in 2 seconds. And that was it. And then it was just, she was better from that. And I was like, oh, man, why didn't we do that 24 hours ago? Anyway, I was like, isn't God good? He's so good. So, yeah. Anything goes on, let's be calling for one another, praying, let us know what's going on, and we're all here for one another. Announcements coming up this week. We're sorry, we've been a bit slack with this, with some of that connection during the week, but especially with this current lockdown thing. There's a few people that have really requested, and we've been wanting to get it going anyway, a midweek Zoom kind of meeting. So Wednesday night, 7:45 to 8:45, it'll just be a quick little meeting. So I'll be talking to Carol and she's going to help keep us in the loop with that. She's doing an awesome job. So we'll send the text around for those who are interested this Wednesday. And next week, we've actually decided, because the restrictions are still in and it's being a long weekend, a lot of people in regional are probably going to go away. So we're actually just going to do a Zoom church for everybody next Sunday at 10 a.m. We are actually going away, and I know a few others will be. So next Sunday will be a Zoom for the day, nothing in person, and then see what happens with all the restrictions, and we'll keep you in touch from then on. So God bless you all. Join us for a time of fellowship if you can. Thank you.
Thanks, Carol.
Bye, Carol.